Hello and welcome to our study today. We hope you are doing well today and God is blessing you richly. We certainly have a great life because God has given us tremendous blessings. We're going to talk about a miracle today that Jesus performed, and it was a great blessing as well. People were hungry. People were starving. There were no grocery stores. And so we're going to read that Jesus fed the multitudes. I'm sure you are very familiar with this miracle. And he fed the multitudes. And, you know, God is good. And that's one of the things that we learn from this passage, that God is good. He is so very, very good. In this account, we find that Jesus sends out his disciples on the limited commission. They were to go out and preach to the house of Israel only. And they go back out and they come back and they're very excited. But in this account also, we find that the record of the death of John the Baptist. John dies at the hands of Herod. Herod has his head chopped off and John the Baptizer dies. Then Jesus tells his disciples, let's go away. Let's go apart from everyone else. We've been working. We have so many people. We cannot even rest or eat. And so they went away. And the people caught up with them after a while. And Jesus taught them and healed them. And this set up the scenario for the feeding of the multitude. And I'd like to read with you this miracle from Luke 9, verses 10 through 17. Luke 9, verses 10 through 17. And the apostles, when they were returned, told him all that they had done. And he took them and went aside privately into a desert place belonging to the city called Bethesda. And the people, when they knew it, followed him, and he received them, and spake unto them of the kingdom of God, and healed them that had need of healing. And when the day began to wear away, then came the 12 and said unto him, send the multitude away, that they may go into the towns and country round about, and lodge and get victuals, for we are here in a desert place. But he said unto them, give you them to eat. And they said, we have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fishes, except we should go and buy meat for all this people. For they were about 5,000 men. And he said to his disciples, make them sit down by 50s in a company. And they did so and made them all sit down. Then he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed them and brake and gave to the disciples to set before the multitude. And they did eat and were all filled. And there was taken up of fragments that remained to them 12 baskets. And so this is the scenario. This was probably the springtime of the year, because in Mark 6 and verse 39, it says that they sat down on the green grass. And it might have been about the time of the Passover. And it was probably about a year before Jesus would be crucified. Now, there are two kinds of hunger, and we need to realize that, being people who are made up of an inward man and an outward man. There's an outward man that requires physical food, but we also have an inward man, and he requires spiritual food. He cannot grow without spiritual food. The natural man cannot grow without natural food, and so just as the outward man needs food, so does the inward man. And we need to remember that as we talk about this great miracle. First of all, we we want to point out the fact that Jesus had compassion. He had compassion upon the people. He knows that we have physical needs, and he had compassion upon the people. And I think that's very important, because you and I need to have the mind of Christ. We need to think like he thinks. We need to have understanding like he had understanding. Philippians 2 and 5 says, "Have this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Well, what kind of mind did Jesus have? He had a mind of compassion upon the multitudes. He knows people have physical needs, and so he was concerned about their physical food. You know, he fed the multitudes, 5,000 men. But even today, there are around 7 billion people in the world, and God still feeds us today. Think of all the wheat fields and all of the orchards and all of the vineyards and all of the fishing boats and all of the ways that God feeds the 7 billion people living on the face of the earth today. God has compassion. That's point number one. God has compassion. What does that mean? Well, he's interested in helping us. He's interested in feeding us. In Matthew chapter 5, beginning with verse 43 through 48, Jesus talked about loving your enemies. He said, "You have heard that it hath been said, love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. But I say unto you that we're to love our enemies and pray for them and do good to them and bless them." And he says in that passage, we are to be good and kind and bless and pray for our enemies, because God causes the sun to shine upon the good and upon the evil, upon the just and the unjust. He sends sunshine. He sends rain. God continues to feed the multitudes. God thinks of people who are both righteous and wicked. God has concerns and compassions for people. And that's what we should have. You know, we run into traffic jams sometimes, and we go, "Oh no, we got a traffic jam. The traffic is stopped." But why don't we think like Jesus is and say, "Look at all these cars. All these cars are driven by someone. They all have a soul. They're all headed for eternity. And we need to be interested in these souls." In Matthew chapter 9, beginning with verse 36, it says concerning Jesus, "But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest." Our Lord has compassion. We need to have his mind in us. And so this is a very important lesson. What Christ loved, we are to love. What he hated, we are to hate. Who he desired to help, that's who we need to desire to help. And you know, after World War II, Germany was divided into East Germany and West Germany. They had just fought us to the bitter end, and yet they didn't have any food. And Russia wanted to take over Germany and Berlin, but we flew food into there. We shipped food and we fed our enemies. That's the way it should be. We are to have compassion upon people. And that's what we find in the mind of our God and in the mind of our Savior, Jesus Christ. We find a God and a Christ, a Savior, who has compassion upon people. And let us do likewise. But in the next place, we find that Jesus had them sit down in an orderly fashion. He wanted them to sit down in groups. It says that, "But when he said unto them, Give you them to eat, they said, We have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fishes, except we should go and buy meat for all this people. For they were about 5,000 men. And he said unto his disciples, Make them to sit down by 50s in a company. And they did so and made them all sit down. We learn from this that God is a God of order. And the Bible says as much in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 40. We're to do all things decently and in order. God is not the God of confusion, 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 33. God wants there to be order, not chaos. It's more effective if you have order. It's more expedient. The people could be fed expediently if they were sitting in groups. And so that's what God has always wanted. God has always wanted order. There's to be order in our government. There is to be order in our homes and order in our church. The Bible says, do all things decently and in order. And so we're not to be mixing the acts of worship. We're to do things decently and in order. In Numbers chapter 10, the children of Israel numbered about 3 million. And their camp had order. The tabernacle sat right in the middle. And there were 3 tribes of Israel on the east side, 3 tribes of Israel encamped on the west side, 3 tribes of Israel on the north, and 3 tribes of Israel on the south. And when they broke camp, they were to, if you'll read Numbers chapter 10, you'll see that there was an order to their breaking of the camp. And so there was an orderly traveling procession there for the children of Israel. God wants things done decently and in order. God is a God of compassion. God wants things done quickly and efficiently and effectively. And this is the way it's done. It's done in order. In Nehemiah chapter 3, Nehemiah was charged to rebuild the city of Jerusalem, to rebuild the walls, and he did that in an orderly fashion. He put one family right next to another family, and each family had a certain space on the wall to rebuild, and the whole wall went up all the way around Jerusalem at one time. And they built that wall in an amazing 52 days because it was done orderly. Beloved, we learn about God. We look at His creation. We look at the sun, the moon, and the stars, and the planets, and they all have an order. So let's have the mind of Christ. Let's have compassion. Let's have order. Let's have order in the church and the worship of the church. That's what God wants. Let's have the order in our homes that God wants us to have. But furthermore, Jesus blessed the food. He gave thanks for the food. There was only a small amount of food. There were only 5 loaves and 2 fishes. But Jesus was thankful for it. The Bible says that every good and every perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, and we are to give thanks for it. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 17 says for us to pray without ceasing, and then it says in verse 16, pray without ceasing, and then in verse 17 it says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. Let's give thanks. And someone might say, well, we don't have very much. Well, that's okay. Because the Bible says for us to give thanks for everything. Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7, in nothing be anxious, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God that passeth understanding shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. We need to be a thankful people. We are absolutely the most blessed people in all of the world. And when we partake of the Lord's Supper, it says the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread and he gave thanks. And he said, take, eat, this is my body. Do this in remembrance of me. Give thanks at the Lord's table. Give thanks for your food that you're given every single day. Give thanks for everything. That's what Jesus did. We're following the example of Christ. We want to have compassion. We want to have order. We want to have thanksgiving in our hearts. And certainly we are to be thankful for the body and the blood of Christ as we come around the Lord's table on the first day of the week to partake of the greatest meal ever, and that is the remembrance of Jesus Christ as we partake of the Lord's Supper. Let's not forget to give thanks. But then we see also in this miracle, we see the compassion, we see the orderliness, we see the thanksgiving, but also we see Jesus producing and then the food being distributed. And what he did was he produced the food and then his disciples distributed it. Now that's a part of the organization of God, certainly. But he produced it and he gave it to his disciples and the disciples gave it to the people. That was physical food. God desires man to be involved in his work. Now we haven't produced the gospel. God has written the pages of the Bible. It comes from him. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. This is God's spiritual food. We have physical food, but we also have spiritual food. And God desires that we be participators in the distribution of his spiritual food. God wrote the gospel, and then he gave it to man. We have a song in our songbook that says, into our hands the gospel is given. Into our hands is given the light. Haste, let us take God's message unto the lost. And so we are laborers together with God. Paul says, I have planted, Apollos watered. We're human beings. We're human beings. We're involved in the work of God. God desires man that he be involved in the work. We are laborers. We are laborers together. We are laborers together with God. Let's realize that God wants us a part of his plan. Let's have the mind of Christ and have compassion. Let's have the mind of Christ and let's be orderly. Let's have the mind of Christ and let's give thanks for everything. And let's have the mind of Christ and let's work with God in the saving of lost souls. Paul would say in 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 16, woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. We have to be involved in this work. We cannot ignore our function. Woe unto us if we fail. If the apostles had sat when the food was produced, then the multitude may not have gotten to eat. But because the apostles did not sit down, but they got up and they distributed the food, then that's how the multitude was fed. And we want to take the gospel into all of the world. And the Bible says it was in Colossians 1 and 23 and Romans 10 and verse 18 that the gospel had been preached to every creature under heaven. Why was that? How did that happen? Because all of the disciples went to work distributing the wonderful spiritual food that God has given us. 5,000 people, at least 5,000 men, were filled up with food. Jesus made the bread, he made the fish, and the disciples gave it out. And the multitude ate. Now we have the gospel in our hands. God has produced this spiritual food. It's called the gospel. It's called the word of God. And he's given it into the hands of the church. We are the pillar and the ground of the truth. What are we going to do with it? Well, we better preach it. In Acts 8 and verse 4, it says that the disciples were scattered everywhere and they went preaching the word. They went everywhere preaching the word, and that's what we're supposed to do. Let's have the mind of Christ. Let's work with Christ. Let's be like they were on this great day of feeding the multitude. But then the Bible says in verse 17, they all ate. Isn't that great? But there was food left over. And they did eat and were all filled. And there was taken up of fragments that remained to them 12 baskets. 12 baskets. They could have left it on the ground, let the ants eat it. But they didn't do that. They picked it up. The mind of Christ is a frugal mind. The mind of Christ is, don't waste it. He produced it. It's food. It's good. It's still healthy. It can still be eaten. Don't leave it on the ground. Gather it up. And so we learn that it is wrong to waste. He made an abundant saving of the extra food. He made more than enough. And that's what we usually have. We have more than enough food. Well, what are we supposed to do with the surplus? Throw it away? No, not at all. We're to save it. And to save it to be eaten later. Now, we've been talking about the greatest, one of the great miracles of the Bible. Certainly one of the most well known. And in the discussion of this great miracle of the Bible, we have learned some important principles. First of all, we are to have compassion like Jesus Christ. You know, there are still hungry souls in our world. They're hungry for the gospel. We have the gospel. And we need to be teaching the gospel to the hungry and the lost souls. Jesus distributed the physical food in an orderly fashion, in an organized fashion. And that's what we're to do. We're to get organized and we're to take the gospel out into all the world. Dispense the bread of life. James 1:21 says, "Receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls." We must receive it. We must receive what we've been studying right now. And then we must take the gospel into all the world and teach every creature that we can so that they might be saved. Just like if you've obeyed the gospel, you who are listening today, somebody took the time and made the effort to teach you the gospel. Is your soul worth that time that person took to teach you the gospel? I know my soul is worth it. Well, there are other people that need to hear the gospel as well. And we need to be taking the gospel to them. And so let's work together with God. We've got the great bread of life in our hands. It's like a life preserver. And people are drowning in sin. And we have a life preserver in our hand. It's called the Holy Word of God. And we can toss it out to those drowning souls in this world of sin. And we can try to pull them in. And we've got to do that. We've got to be soul conscious. And I hope that you are. I hope that you're trying to seek and save the lost. We have an outward man that needs regular physical food, natural food. But we have an inward man that needs spiritual food. And I hope that you are going to Bible class and you're attending worship services so that your soul can be fed. The elders were told to feed the church of God, which is purchased with his own blood, Acts 20:28. You need to be in the assemblies of the Lord's saints so that you can be fed the precious and the life-giving, sustaining, soul-sustaining gospel of Jesus Christ. I hope you're faithful to the Lord's church. I hope you attend the services so that you can be fed. Feed your children the Word of God, and certainly your grandchildren. Feed them God's Word so that they might be saved. Thank you for tuning in today, dear people. I hope you continue to have a great week. My name is Richard Massey, and I preach for the Windmill Church of Christ, located 8 miles south of Weatherford, Texas. We hope if you're ever in our area, you will surely come and see us and be with us and worship God with us. And we thank you for your time today. God bless you. Continue to study. Continue to pray. Continue to travel that great road to heaven. We hope to see you next time. Farewell.